Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. We are here at Archant Towers to bring you, well, it's not going to be the last podcast of the year, I distinctly hope, but we've got some things to update. Of course, we had Norwich City's defeat at Leeds United at the weekend and quite a bit to look forward to between now and the turn of the year too. But my name is Michael Bailey. I am here with Chief Norwich City correspondent Paddy Davitt and the man who covered the Canaries from Nigel Worthington. We were just having this discussion, weren't we, Chris? Nigel Worthington through to Paul Lambert, head of sport now in Norfolk, Chris Lakey. Gentlemen, you're right. Paddy, well?
Very well, mate. Very well.
Recovered from the weekend. It was a long old weekend.
It wasn't good. Do you want to tell these good people the commute we had home, mate?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was an hour extended. We all went through with the diversion off the A1, took us through Melton Mowbray, and then when we stopped at Peterborough Services, I noticed we all ended up having a pork pie.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. You reminded me now. Yours and Dave's were the man-sized ones, and I just had a little bite-sized one.
Well, yeah, we had one man-sized one. You had two little bite-sized ones. But yeah, it's definitely... Hey, it went down well as well. It must have been the journey. Chris, hello. When was the last time you were on this podcast?
Well, a long time ago, but I'm just wondering how you end up stopping at Peterborough Services, eating pork pies, travelling through Melton Mowbray. We never did that. We just got lost in other parts of the country and didn't have anything to eat.
I'm pretty sure you found a chippy.
We found some decent chippies.
Sutton Bridge,
Wisbech. We found a chippy in Wisbech. It was, in fact, a chippy I used to work at. So it was quite good, yeah.
There you go. I'm sure they treated you well, too. Right, well, enough food talk and Melton Mowbray. Although some might prefer we carried on with that, but we're not going to. We're going to talk about some football because, as mentioned at the start, Norwich City lost out 1-0 at Leeds. Defeat, Paddy, that probably still met with the same kind of negative reaction, I thought. Regardless of the fact that maybe, you know, it was a long way from Norwich's worst performance on the road this year, I thought. But how did you see it?
Yeah, no, well, wouldn't disagree. But are we now worried about performance or are we worried about points? And I would suggest 16th in the table, listing neither going for the top end or at this stage, underlining at this stage, needing to worry about the other end of the table. I don't think it's about performance now, really. It is about, you know, putting some wins on the board, and from there, hopefully, you can then start debating the performances. Yes, there wasn't a lot between the two sides, and ultimately was decided by, from Norwich's point of view, a very poor concession on a set piece where they've knocked off, supposedly going man for man on Pontus Janssen. Didn't see a lot of evidence of that. And you take that out. Norwich hit the woodwork. They hit the woodwork. A lot of good, technically gifted midfielders on show. But ultimately, same as we saw at Forest, you know, fell the wrong side of it. Same at Bolton, fell the wrong side of it. Same at Cardiff, fell the wrong side of it. You know, it isn't really now for me at this stage of the season a debate about performance. It's about points, and on that measure, they're failing.
Yeah, there's a kind of a sense of inevitability about their results at the moment, Chris, and it becomes a habit, doesn't it, when you lose. And I guess we hope that the second half against Sheffield Wednesday would be a sort of spark, but obviously only based on one game since then, we didn't see it.
No, I agree with Paddy about that it is about points now. You know, a lot of people always say, oh, well, I'd rather my team plays really well. I don't care if they lose 2-1, as long as they play well and entertain me. Well, you know, if you want to be in League One or League Two, they might do that. There is a necessity to go out and get points, and there's a necessity to entertain. You can't sometimes do both. City are obviously falling short. No, I mean, I wasn't at Leeds. I read your boys' reports and follow the Twitter all afternoon. It's clear that they can perform to a point. Then they don't go over that edge where they get the win. It's hugely frustrating if you're a supporter trying to keep trace of whether they're going to be half decent this Saturday, whether they're going to be rubbish and get done, you know, and look idiots. It must be terrible for people who are going to watch, because you don't, you had, I think Paddy described it as this island of consistency once this season. You can't trust them now, it appears, to say, ah, they did well against Sheffield Wednesday, we'll build on it, we'll do well at Leeds. Might have played well, don't get the points. And that must be the frustration. You do not know what's going to happen with your team. If they're rubbish all the time, you know what's going to happen. If they're good all the time, you know what's going to happen. I'm afraid at the moment, you know, fans are going blind. They're going into matches blind, not knowing what to expect. And even if they get a half-decent performance, not getting the points. And we're at a point you do need to get wins.
Yeah, and that the worrying thing, I guess, is coming into these four games, isn't it, Paddy? Because we know, they're Brentford at home on Friday before Christmas, then the Boxing Day trip to Birmingham. The following Saturday is a trip to Burton. I mean, those two games, goodness me, I mean, I don't know, but they just... They need points from those two before then Millwall, who of course Norwich owe two games, to come to Carrow Road on New Year's Day. And that inconsistency, that can't continue through those four games, can it? The need for points from those four specifically, you can bottle it down to that, is crucial, because we don't really want Norwich to get sucked any lower down, because I'm not entirely sure that the way they would like to go about things is going to suit scrapping away, trying to get clear of trouble.
Yeah, and to take that point on, these Brentford out to put to one side, because I think they are under Dean Smith more of a footballing side, but those next three games, the qualities that are going to get you results are those which you fear are not in abundance within this Norwich squad. They're going to need to scrap, they're going to need to fight, win their personal duels, that phrase we hear often but don't see a lot of evidence of it, and if they don't, then they'll basically get bullied out of it, you know, Millwall being the pertinent one, because that's probably the most graphic representation this season, where former striker in the parish, Steve Morrison, just basically monstered Russell Martin and Marcel Franca that day, and it set the tone for a, you know, it was men against boys, really. Norwich were very lightweight. They tried to control the game as they were in that phase through possession. Don't think they've got good enough players to do it to the degree they need to. If they're going to basically deny opposition the ball, you need to have far better players than they've got for that template. And then conversely, they don't seemingly have enough grunt about them with these players that at the minute anyway. I mean, I'm hoping Alex Tete comes back into the mix, because he does offer you that. I think Tribal can do that alongside Tete. You know, there might be an argument now for a Wiltshire as well, because he is a bit of a physical presence. The problem is, if they go to Birmingham and Burton, you fear trying to play those teams off the park, they'll get turned over. You know, it'll be two ugly defeats. And then Millwall come to Carrow Road, and it'll be more of the same. So it isn't an exaggeration, I don't think, to stress that these next four games are the season, really. You know, if they come through them with a decent points haul, not only will they be in a healthier situation in terms of league status, but the confidence they'll get from that, you would like to think, would kick them on again. If it goes the other way, then they're going to be a lot closer to the bottom three than they are currently. And as I say, the qualities they're going to need to dig themselves out of it, not sure they've got it. And I'm not sure this manager wants to go down that route, in all honesty. He doesn't want to play that brand of football. But if the brand he wants to play isn't effective in terms of points, then he needs to change. He did it after Millwall. We need to see it again, I think.
And it's not just the matters on the pitch either, is it? We've also got the old season ticket renewal date, and though, you know, we haven't even had the prices come out yet, but all of that stuff's going to filter into what's the mood is going to be like over Christmas time, Chris. And you've seen this over numerous years. It's played out lots of times before.
Goodness me, yeah. I mean, some of the stuff you've seen go on over the years makes your hair curl. The thing with season ticket renewals is it comes at the worst possible time, because mum and dad are counting the cost of Christmas and thinking of what they're going to do this summer regarding the holiday. And oh, by the way, here's the season ticket bill. Now, it's very good when clubs free season ticket prices. You've still got to pay it, though. It doesn't disappear. And I think if you're just checking to see what you're going to afford this year, you know, how you're going to budget things, and Norwich City doesn't stack up, then you're probably going to say, well, not sure about the season ticket. I was talking to a chap the other day who's involved in local sport. He is a very, very strong Norwich City fan. He says he knows eight friends of his who are not going to renew. And that's a lot for one person to say, absolutely definite, eight people who won't renew, because it's not worth the money. It's not they can't afford it, it's not very good value for money at the moment. And that's, you know, again, we come back to wanting to be entertained, but wanting to have points. You want to have something to look forward to, and to actually say, we can make the top six, even if you're not playing particularly well, but you're winning games. We can overtake Ipswich. We can probably get into the top two. If you haven't got those targets, or they all disappear, it's all very dull, isn't it? The worst seasons I had covering Norwich were when they weren't in fear of relegation or promotion. Middle of the table, it was terrible. who was actually good under certain managers who weren't very good managers.
I'm just contemplating the prospect of having to deal with a relegation battle for the rest of the season, Paddy.
You love it. They're great fun. I tell you, the people down there don't like it, but in here it's great.
Yeah. So in the Championship, it would be something that hasn't been done for a few years, although we've all been there. We'll all remember the last time. Let's just touch on Saturday's game, shall we, Pat? I know we touched on it very briefly, but Norwich's before, as you said, they did play well in patches, and the chances were reasonably shared, but I always got the impression that Leeds had the better chances, they had the better opportunities. And this is a team, do you think, that in terms of Leeds, that will actually end up pretty close to the top six?
I could see that scenario. I think they're more rounded opposition than maybe Sheffield United and Bristol City to an extent, and both of those are in the top six. It's that word, get sick of using it, it's the consistency. The teams who will be in the top six come May will be the ones who've been able to, over the 9 months that preceded it, have a consistent run more often than not, and a consistent run of positive results, because there's a lot of teams, Norwich included, who can go the other way and string many results of an inconsistent nature together. But I wasn't overly... I mean, to me, I said it Saturday morning, the only team who've been the standout are Wolves, you know. Apart from that, it's much of a muchness for me. There's good teams, there's average teams, there's bang average teams, and Norwich are veering between all three at the minute.
I like that indeed. And you can, I mean, you get a proper sense of where the table is by this point, don't you, Chris? You know where.
Unless you're the Wolves manager, who quite clearly at the weekend did say, "I do not know where we are in the table. Are we seventh or something?"
Yeah.
I mean, they are a good side, clearly, but goodness me, what an idiotic thing to say. Because if he doesn't know where they sit, how's he going to, you know, or doesn't look at the table, how's he going to prepare for next time's opponents? Hugely annoying when managers say that. But yeah. Wolves just look a different class, don't they? Fantastic.
They do indeed, and they did manage to.
Quite pleased for him.
Yeah, how disappointed should we be about that? Because even Ryan Bennett is looking like a top quality centre back, and some Norwich fans will question that.
I think you'll find that Ryan Bennett had a good breeding ground before he came here. So, always a decent footballer. I thought he was much maligned, but you know, all football fans are quick to jump on the back of certain players at their clubs, and you know that there are certain players currently injured, maybe, who are getting dogs abuse from fans for not really doing anything, just being injured. Not their fault.
Spot on indeed. In terms of the players on the pitch, some of those are getting a bit of stick as well. So Nelson Oliveira ran into a brick wall, according to Pontus Janssen, and bounced off it. It seemed to be the standout moment that got shared around social media, and he was much maligned in those circles. I'm not sure Nelson's too bothered about that. But January and Nelson Oliveira and where Norwich are and where they go, Paddy, there seems to be a lot of question marks. I mean, we already know that there isn't really an appetite to do a lot of business in January, and I'm not suggesting that Nelson Oliveira will be necessarily in amongst that anyway, but his form, the fact that we're talking about all these off-field stuff, and we seem to so little talk about what he's doing on the pitch in terms of scoring goals and performances that are really dictating games. They just haven't been there this season. Even Norwich's best run came mostly without Nelson Oliveira being fit.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hindsight is a wonderful thing, but I think if you were to stop 10 Norwich fans outside this building now and ask them should they have cashed in on Nelson Oliveira when Swansea came calling in the summer, I think to a man and woman they'd say yes, because his output in terms of goals, even in his general play, isn't good enough. You know, he's had his injury fitness issues as well. I actually watched him quite closely on Saturday, and he's just an angry man. You know, his balls come in from his midfield that go over his head or whatever, and you know, the body language is terrible. You know, he's so frustrated with himself and his teammates, and I wouldn't ever accuse him of a lack of effort. He's definitely putting the effort in, and his ability's not in doubt, but something isn't right, and you know, maybe he feels he should have probably moved on in the summer as well. But then again, you know, jump frying pan into the fire, because I don't think Swansea are doing anything other than heading back from whence they came. So that might have been a short-term move for him that ends back in the Championship. But ultimately, if he's not contributing in terms of goals, then I don't see a lot of difference between him and Jerome. And that's a massive, massive issue for this head coach at the minute. They're not scoring goals. And if they're not scoring goals, you need to keep clean sheets. Well, unfortunately, there's too many square pegs in round holes at the back, and as and we saw on Saturday, they aren't capable in this current run of keeping clean sheets. It's not a recipe. Well, in fact, what it is a recipe for is 16th in the division, unfortunately, because if you're not going to score goals and you can't keep them out the other end, there's not a lot down for you. So that increasingly is an issue that needs resolving. And if January allows them the opportunity to do something in that area, then they should look to take it, in my personal opinion. But it's safe to say there won't be the same money down for Nelson Oliveira now in January than there was in the summer. So they might have to take a hit on that one, but it might be best for all parties if he moves on. I said this on a podcast 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I'd stand by that. If Daniel Farke can't extract the player that there is there, then, you know, move on, because it's not working.
That's an interesting point as well, because a lot of people are saying, and I think it got brought up after the game as well, this Norwich squad, this is better, they should be better than 16th, and you know they're not playing, they have more quality than that. And had this have been Alec Neil in charge, just to take a recent example, I would be questioning his ability to get the most out of the players at his disposal. You know, I know it's only now that he's got Alex Pritchard and James Maddison available, but you know, maybe there should be goals in this side with the quality they've got going forward. And then you start to raise the question as to whether, you know, it, albeit in transitional periods, Daniel Farke is getting the most out of what he's got available to him.
Certain types of players and individual characteristics all come into play, don't they? And some people respond better. I would imagine that Paul Lambert was quite a hard taskmaster. Sorry if I'm turning the clock back.
No.
But how did the players respond to him? Because he recruited correctly and he got the sort of people who would respond to him. Now, is Daniel Farke experienced enough to identify players who will respond to what he does? Because Paul Lambert got players who played above, way above their abilities, way above their levels. But, you know, it's not happening down here. The Nelson Oliveira should be able to, on that theory, on that basis, Nelson Oliveira should be able to play pretty well for Daniel Farke. Maybe his temperament is wrong. One thing I can't understand, by the way, is anybody who thinks that Norwich City shouldn't sign a striker in January. It's to have a club with effectively two strikers, unless there's any more there I don't know about. it's incredible. Especially one who hasn't been able to score goals and is now on the bench, and another one who's decided he doesn't want to score goals. You know, he's just an absolute non-brainer. You have to get, by hook or by crook, get a striker in January.
We did see new hair from Cameron Jerome. He let it go, which is good to see, of course, something different. I did see a little line in the Q&A pad that we did online where you sort of wondered whether it might be time to have a little look at Tristan Abraham or see if he can do something.
Well, why not? You know, why not? The only caveat with that, because somebody else was saying, well, bring Godfrey back, bring Morris back. Jamal Lewis is in and amongst it now. The situation Norwich are in now, where it increasingly the desperation to get points will override anything else, because otherwise you're heading to League One. That's not a good environment to blood a lot of young players in one hit. So I can understand the urge to get young blood in, and Abrams is in that category, but you've got to balance that with... And again, that's why, you know, you come through this festive period with a haul of points which alleviates maybe any fears about going the other way. And then obviously then the season will elapse, and the reality is they're probably too far off anything in terms of top end of the pitch. But if that was confirmed by the sort of February, March time, but still in a nice comfortable position, then you would go, right, we've got a plan for next season. What? Let's use this block of 15 games left or whatever, and let's have a look at an Abraham, let's have a look at a Jamal Lewis, et al. But at here and now, going into the situation they're in now with over half a season left to go, I don't think you go wholesale, take the older boys out, put in the younger lads, because the reality is younger players, and we've seen this in recent years, you'll get inconsistency from them. I mean, if you're getting inconsistency from a Josh Murphy at the minute, then what would you get from completely raw development level players? So that's a very difficult one. I can understand the thirst for it, because purely on a Tristan Abrahams, if Oliveira isn't scoring, if Jerome isn't scoring, there's a guy who has scored at development level. What's to be lost by throwing him in? And that could work, but it could also go the other way. So, but having said that, why not have him in and around the squad? Cantwell's been in and around it all season. I know he hasn't got on the pitch yet, but why would you not have him on the bench as an option? Because it isn't fundamentally working with an Oliveira and a Jerome at the minute. what's to be lost. And also, as well, I think that would inject a little bit of enthusiasm around your fan base as well. Because what they will not be able to abide as we continue going on is if it's continually the same players all the time he keeps reverting to and the results aren't picking up, then what is there to be gained from that approach? He needs to be bold, in my opinion, and react and proactive rather than reactive. I mean, another one on the Q&A was his substitutions. I mean, to make 283 minutes on the clock Saturday, I couldn't fathom that at all. I mean, what are Jerome and Wes going to do in that space of time? The game had started to drift from about the 55, 60 minute mark. That was the point. So, and that was a charge that was laid at Alex Neil's door quite often, and Hughton, as I recall, before that. You know, and to take Chris's point, that was one thing you never accused Lambert of being, is reactive. There was a proactive manager in terms of his use of his bench and his resources. I'd just like to see a bit more of that from Mr. Farker.
Spot on. It reminds me of Sunderland. They won their first home game of the year on the weekend, mainly because Chris Coleman, 17 minutes gone. They were 1-0 at home to Fulham. He brought on two under-23s for their debut. I don't think they'd ever played before. He slung them in. One of them scored the goal. And they both lit up the game. And he took off James Vaughan and Lewis Grabham to do it. And they won, you know, it just took that. So sometimes that's the spark, isn't it? And let me get this right in my head, because I'm going to keep getting this wrong. It's Tammy Abraham and Tristan, who is, of course, at Swansea, and Tristan Abrahams, who's the young Norwich. I think that's right, but please correct me if I've got that wrong, because I can't remember whether to keep adding the S or not. Couple of really quick things, shall we? Ivo Pinto had a hamstring injury that he kind of played through on Saturday. How much of a worry, Paddy, briefly, is that if he doesn't make it? Because the only right back I can think on the books at the moment who could step in is Russell Martin, and doesn't really seem to be involved in it very much, he said.
Yeah, no, massive, massive concern, because I think the nature of that injury, a hamstring, and the explosive type of player he is, that's going to twang, I think, at some point. I think it's very unlikely, particularly now going into however many it is, 4 games in 10-day period. You would have to think Norwich would be very fortunate to emerge from there, and Pinto's played all the games. So, again, proactive rather than reactive. Anticipate that might happen and then put a plan in place. Now, the Russell Martin situation is an interesting one. 2-3 weeks ago, Marcel Franck is making the bench instead of Russell Martin, and Russell Martin's fit because he's playing for the development squad. So there's clearly an issue there, you know, dating back to Millwall and the aftermath. And if that isn't going to be resolved satisfactorily, then maybe January, fresh pastures for Russell, I think, albeit maybe a loan deal, because he signed a new deal here last summer. Because Norwich, yeah, if Pinto isn't available, and irrespective of whether Pinto's got an injury or not, you should have cover. You should have cover in every part of the squad. And it's not the only part of the squad you feel are a little bit light. I mean, left back, Stieperman, now he's getting found out routinely. I don't think he is a left back. He's a stopgap measure, but unfortunately he's now had to more or less nail down that space. We all understand the financial necessity meant they had to thin the squad out, but within doing that, I think that they are now worryingly threadbare in certain parts of it.
I guess they could play three at the back as well if Ivo's out. Also, of course, we've had speculation in the last over the weekend that Marcel Franck might be going and might be leaving the club. Maybe there'll be a loan there for Marcel too, and maybe Sean Raggett will be back and he'll be playing regularly for the second half of the season. I'm losing track now, because it seems to flip.
I think one thing that ought to be said is it's fair to say that whilst Russell Martin might not be flavour of the month, if he were called upon, I don't think anybody would doubt that he would give everything he's got. It might not be good enough, and it certainly won't be good enough for some people ever, but he isn't the sort of character who'd let you down. And also, just picking up on Paddy's point about the twanging noise, you know, all these games coming up, it's cold. Yes. Doesn't help your hamstrings.
No.
And, you know, that explosive, and that's what Pinto's game is about. I can feel the Royal Philharmonic warming up. in the back of his leg.
But I worry every time David Freezer explodes up to get to the press box, you see, because it is cold.
And, Freeze dog.
Well, yeah,
that man's hamstrings, they're solid. They're like cellos running around there.
It's good knowledge of Dave's hamstrings there, Chris. Last question then. We've got Brentford coming up. I mean, Brentford are doing pretty well this year, actually. You know, ticking along. They're above Norwich in the table, but then that is the majority of the Championship, sadly. Brentford, as I said, at home coming up on Friday. We've then got Boxing Day at Birmingham, but the Saturday after that at Burton, and New Year's Monday at home against Millwall. I know I've already recounted them, but you know, I've just done it again. And we talked about this on the Q&A as well, Paddy. Minimum points. I think I've said 2 wins and a draw minimum, and that's maybe just to preserve a lot of sanity around the place. Pad?
Yeah, no. I think that'd be fair. As the minimum, I mean, you'd hope they could maybe 9, but to do that, they're going to have to go to one of Birmingham and Burton and get a win. And to take this full circle, it concerns me hugely. I mean, Alex Neil's squad were routinely bullied out. Burton was a notable one, wasn't it? And Birmingham, in fact, yeah, early last season. And I don't think that this squad of Farkas is any more equipped to roll their sleeves up, to use that metaphor, so that concerns me hugely. But certainly Brentford and Millwall got to win both of those, and then hopefully maybe get something on the road.
Just to underline the point, I think when Norwich got done at St Andrews, they were Birmingham were under Gary Rowett, and then when Norwich beat Birmingham 1-0, and they were, you know, that was a really even game at Carrow Road, Harry Redknapp was in charge. We've now got Steve Cottrell, who's sort of clinging on by it's like a grim death over at Birmingham at the moment. But yeah, Chris, what makes us worried?
Because that's all they do at the moment. Even Dean Smith's getting cheesed off. I think you'd rather see him lose to stop the sequence of draws. But you know, I think the away games are going to be difficult. But I think even if they went and just didn't get beaten in the 4 games, that would help an awful lot, even if the points return were not so good. But I can't see them get many points because they're 16th in the table. They're not doing particularly well. You know, how is it, 1 win in about
10? 9 in all competitions?
9, 10 or something? I think they'll beat Millwall at home, but I wouldn't want to put money on anything else. And even then, Millwall, you watch Steve Morrison, you know, he hasn't perhaps got what he used to have, but he's still got pointy elbows and he's got a really nice footballing brain. You know, he's not a bad player at all. And he'll love it. I don't care what he says, he'll love to put one over Norwich.
Yeah, he's got a new contract, hasn't he, as well? So he's all right.
He's got a different colour hair than he used to have down here. Yeah,
it's all that wisdom he's got now. that is it. We'll wrap that up. Don't forget, we've got the Pinken Show coming up on Wednesday night. That's live on the Pinken Facebook page. You can watch it, All Being Well, on Pinken.com and the YouTube channel. So keep an eye out for that. That's the last one of the year. Get involved. You can get your messages in or come down to the Fat Cat and Canary where we record. It'll be lovely to see you down there. We will, of course, me, Paddy and Dave will be at every game over the festive period, calling it as we see it. So again, pinken.com for all the build-ups, fallouts, live coverage and analysis you could ever wish to digest alongside your turkey or, of course, nut roast. I think that's everything. Chris, thank you very much for joining us.
No worries.
We'll do that again.
No worries, gents. Thank you.
Cheers, Pads.
Cheers, mate.
And don't forget, Angus Gunn and Daniel Farker Reaction is also at pinken.com from the weekend, should you wish to see it. Until next time, goodbye. Bye.